I mean, really, this is just the kind of music that you have to do this to. I can't help it. I want to stop, but I cannot. Oh, I tell you, I just want to talk about that song just a little bit. So there's a couple of lines in there that just really resonated with me this morning. And that's that, you know, we're calling on the God of David, who brought down Goliath. And I don't have a Goliath, but I've got other giants in my life. And the God who was with David is with us. I'm calling on the God of Mary, who reached out and blessed the poor and lowly. And God, who are we? But you do the same for us. I love that. You're the same God. Heavenly Father, this morning, we just want to bless you. We want to thank you that you're the same God today that you were then. Holy Spirit, so that last verse says, we pray you would come and fill us again. Fill us with your presence. Fill this place with your presence and speak to us now through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a new series. I love the last one. I feel like every series we do, I look at it and anticipate it with some sort of, I don't know, but then you dig into it, you're like, ah, this is great. So we're starting just 4 weeks on the parables of Jesus. We're not going to get through all of them, but we've got four that we're going to look at. And parables are really cool. We will discover what their purpose is in the process. But to set it up, I want to tell you about something that happened probably about a month and a half ago. Anyone here know David Pace? Anyone familiar with that name? David is a genius. Just the sweetest kid. He's not a kid. He's a grown man, but he's always be a kid to me. But he is a genius. And so there was a conversation I was having with him a couple of weeks back, and he was talking about his investments. I said, David, you're a smart guy. Tell me what I need to know about cryptocurrency. Big mistake. I should never have brought that up. Because David goes into this very long explanation, and he uses words like blockchain, crypto exchange, digital currency, digital wallet, and I'm like, I don't even know where my own wallet is, let alone a digital wallet. And at that point in time, my eye caught the movement of a little fly on a piece of fabric on the curtain, and I watched that as I'm listening to David's mouth move, and I'm paying attention to the fly over there, and I watch that for a while, and then I shake my head and come back in the game, and he's talking about things like fiat currency and non-fungible tokens, and I'm just like, He goes, so there, that's cryptocurrency. And he walked away. And my friend Donna turns to me, and she goes, did you understand anything he said? I go, not a bit. Not a thing. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this new concept that people had a hard time grasping. The concept is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It mattered a lot to Jesus. And so it behooves us to understand it better ourselves. It may be fuzzy to you. It's a little fuzzy to me. But the stories that Jesus tells gives us some insight into what the kingdom is all about. And so we're going to be looking at a parable today from Matthew chapter 13. It's the sower, the seed, and the soil. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be spending most of our time there, so it's a safe place to turn. And I'll pray, and we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you speak to us and the way that you speak in ways that help us understand big and complex things. You want us to understand these things. You don't want to keep things hidden from us. So you tell us stories. Today, as we hear this story fresh again, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our ears, you would open our eyes so that we can understand and hear what you are saying. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in Matthew 13, down in verse 34, Matthew tells us something about the way Jesus taught. He says this, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He says he didn't say anything without using a parable. Parable is sort of a combination of two words, para and bull. But the first part, para, means to beside, to come beside, sort of a paramedic, a medic who, someone who comes alongside the medic and sort of helps in that process in an emergency. So a parable is a story that comes alongside a teaching. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus really didn't use parables to explain his teaching. He used parables as the teaching, Matthew says. Disciples then in verse 10 come to him and they ask him, well, so Jesus, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus gives this explanation that can take a little bit to unpack. If you're reading in your Bibles, you can follow along as I sort of unpack it in a way that makes sense to me. And Jesus says this. He goes, when I talk about the kingdom, and he's very kind to them, he says, you guys get it. And they're all looking at each other going, we do? Why would we be asking if we got it? He says, you guys get it more than you think you do. But so many other people don't. He says, I want people to get it. I want people to understand this stuff. So I use stories to explain it in ways they can understand. And here's what happens. When you don't understand something, and three or four times you don't understand it, what happens? You get discouraged. Anyone experience that with trigonometry or algebra? People explain it to you, or cryptocurrency, and you're like, okay, this is the 18th time someone has talked to me about non-fungible tokens, and I still don't get it. And then you determine in your head, you know what, I'm never going to get it, so I'm not going to bother anymore with it. And that's what happens. We get discouraged. The Bible describes it as our hearts getting hard, and we sort of shut it down. And Jesus then quotes the prophet Isaiah, an old proverb there that Isaiah said that sort of had become a saying among the people. He says, you'll be ever hearing, but not understanding. And you'll be ever seeing, but never really perceiving, never really getting it. Jesus says, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. So we tell stories to help us understand. So today we're looking at this story of the sower, the seed, and some soil. And we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter, back up in verse 1. And here's what Matthew tells us. In verse 1, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. But such large crowds gathered around him that he had to get into a boat. And he sat in it while all the people stayed out on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered, and they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then he says, whoever has ears, let him hear. That's exactly what we prayed this morning, didn't it? Lord, give us ears to hear. Whoever has ears, he says, let them hear. Underline that if you got your Bible, because that is an important saying right there from Jesus. Farmer, seed, soil. Common stuff, especially around here. Each of them deserve a little bit more attention because each of them give us some insight into the kingdom. The sower here, this is a beautiful picture of Jesus. The sower here is not like, any of you guys ever grown a little backyard garden, maybe one of those raised gardens, and you plant your seed, and you put a little furrow down the soil, and it's black and rich, and you can just smell the future growth coming off that dirt. And you put your finger through there, and you drop like little diamonds, seeds in there, and then you cover it over, and then you pray, Jesus, help me have tomatoes. Jesus never answers that prayer for me, but but this is not what this sower is doing. He's like my dad. When my parents built their last house, I love when they throw that fresh sod out, they roll it out in that fresh green grass. Anyone love the look of that? My dad is too cheap to ever spring for that kind of stuff. So he just goes out, the soil is bare, he tries to level as much as he can, then he just takes his bag of seed and he just goes out there and he just starts scattering it everywhere. And I'm there going, Dad, you know, there's going to be some shrubs here. We're going to dig all this out and put some beds in there. He doesn't care. He doesn't care where anything is landing. He's just throwing the seed. Seed is hitting the side of the house and coming down against the side of the house where it will grow the lushest and healthiest of any grass. Digging that thing out later is going to be the work of an army. Some of it lands on the sidewalk. Some of it lands on the driveway. Some of it lands on the porch cushions where you shake it out later. He doesn't care. He has no appreciation for the value of those individual seeds. It's more important for him to get it everywhere. And I look at that and go, it's somewhat inefficient, I think. I mean, it may be effective, but it could be more effective. Seems somewhat impractical to me. We're just going to have to clean up all this extra stuff. But Jesus says that sort of wastefulness is a picture of the kingdom in some way. Maybe you recall the story of the woman who comes to Jesus when he is having dinner with his friends. She comes into the group and she takes a little vessel of precious oil, very expensive perfume, and she breaks the vessel. She pours that oil all over the feet of Jesus. And some of the disciples were talking amongst themselves, and they said, Jesus, why did you let that happen? That was so wasteful. All that could have been just put into the treasury. We could have sold that at some point in time and used it to feed the poor. I mean, wouldn't all of us say, yeah, that sounds like a pretty practical idea right there. But Jesus saw it differently. Jesus said to that woman, you've done something incredibly beautiful. There's this beauty in this extravagant wastefulness that tells us something about the woman, tells us something about Jesus, and it tells us something about the kingdom. He says in Matthew 26, he says, any time the gospel is proclaimed, this story should be told. It's an important story because it tells us something about God, about his kingdom. You see, God is not worried about running out of grace. He is not worried about running out of seed. He is not worried about the gospel being shared with someone who may not get it. He says, share it anyway. Share it anyway. Scatter kingdom grace. Scatter good news on everyone. Pour love and grace everywhere. Go crazy with it. Because there's plenty where that came from. The kingdom is about extravagant grace. I love that. Then there's the seed. The seed, Jesus says, is the message of the kingdom, exactly what we're talking about today. And the seed is the invitation to come and be part of that kingdom. For us, and one of our values is telling life-changing faith stories, and this seed, that's a great way to describe what this seed is. It's telling the good news about God and how much he loves us. He loves us enough to give us his son in exchange for ours, to let his son lay down his life so that we might have life. That's how much God loves us. It's good news about us then, because we're not worthless. We're worthy of God's love. He loves us, and so we take him at his word. Thank you, Lord. And it tells us something about people around us. They're worthy of love too. God loves them and gave his life for them too. They're worthy of love. Sharing that seed is important because that seed is powerful. Let me say that again. Sharing that seed is powerful because the seed itself is powerful. A single seed has the potential to create billions of more seeds. And our life-changing faith story has the potential for many, 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 many more life-changing faith stories to come from it. Now, if you talk to Steve, he will tell you that speaking our faith story, sharing our faith story, is where God's power in that faith story is demonstrated and experienced. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, I am not ashamed of what God has done in my life. I'm not ashamed of the story of God's work in creation. I'm not ashamed to tell you that God loved you enough to give Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell you that Jesus loved you enough to die for you. I'm not ashamed to tell you that now Jesus says, if you come to me, I will come and make my home in you. And I will do great and mighty things through you and in you and around you. That is powerful. He says it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's power for salvation. That gospel seed, that good news seed, is also power to overcome. We have an enemy. Do you know that? You have an enemy. It's not your neighbor. We have an enemy, the devil. The scriptures call him the accuser of the brethren. And he just whispers in our ear all the time, says, do you really believe God loves you? Do you really believe you're worthy of that love? The enemy just nags at us all the time. And Revelations tells us that this battle, this strife between us, will come to a head with us overcoming him. Look at Revelation 12:11. It says, the saints of God, in the struggle and fight against the enemy, the accuser, the saints of God overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, amen, and the word of their testimony, speaking it out, sharing it, say, you can say what you want, devil, but let me tell you what God has done in my life. That's the word of our testimony, our faith, our life-changing faith story. The message of the kingdom is this. It's about a king who died for his enemies, you and me, so that those who believe in him could be part of the kingdom and inherit the kingdom, Jesus says. That's powerful seed. Powerful seed. Share it. Then there's the soil. Around here you get sandy soil, you get silty soil, you get a lot of clay. Anyone deal with clay soil? Lots of clay soil. Sometimes you find loamy soil. That's just good, delicious soil. You can eat it. It's so good. Jesus talks about four kinds of soil then. He talks about hard-headed soil, faint-hearted soil, careworn soil, and good soil. The first one is this, hard-headed soil. It says in verse 9, when the disciples ask him to explain this parable to them, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And this is the seed that was sown along that path that's just worn down, hard as a rock, because all the feet that have walked over it. Now that understand, is the scripture up there? That word understand is a key word. So it's a Greek word, suniami, suniami. And suniami is the word we translate understand, simple enough. But that word has with it sort of a whole host of meaning. This is the challenge of translating, because there's meaning attached to things that we take 20 words to explain, one word will do it in other languages. And this is one of those words, because it doesn't mean just to understand and get it. It means intentionally trying to understand with the goal of understanding. So when Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear, he's saying, listen, apply yourself to this. You may not get it right now, but if you apply yourself, you'll understand it. You'll get it. So understand it. It's like David. David walked away from my cryptocurrency conversation. Donna says, did you understand what he said? And I said, no, I didn't get it. She goes, did you try to understand? I go, no, I did not try to understand. This is the hard soil then. Not even trying to understand. In order to understand, we first need to humbly seek to understand. Otherwise, the good news just stays on the surface like cryptocurrency information, non-fungible tokens. I can say it. I have no idea what it means. It stays on the surface. And the enemy snatches it away. The second type of soil is faint-hearted soil. Look at verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Oh, that's great news. Thank you, Jesus. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Remember Core 52? I mean, I know we all have, like, our faces get red with embarrassment over Core 52 because we all bought the book. And most of us lasted for about 3 weeks. How many of you guys lasted more than 3 weeks? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, we won't say anything more about that. But here's the deal. When things get tedious or things get hard or we miss a few days, we go, okay, well, let's just move on to the next thing. And God says, that's not what I want from citizens of the kingdom. When it gets hard, it's tempting to quit instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to work new things in us, things that only develop as we put a little bit of effort into this, new disciplines, new habits, new ways of thinking that we only discover as we begin to work it out. Jesus will call you to hard things. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus will call you to hard stuff. He will call you to hard choices. Choices and things that will require you to trust in Him and maybe walk in a way that's different from your friends and your family. Things that make no sense to them. Jesus knows all about that. He's teaching his disciples, and he says something very difficult. So his disciples, and then hundreds of people who just follow along with him, he says these words to them, and you can look it up in John chapter 6. He says something to them, and the crowds are like, huh? What? Whoa. No. Okay. I'm with you up until that point right there. And he says what he says, and they go, you know what? I'm just going to go home. It was easier there. I don't have to explain my weird beliefs to anyone. I just be basically a good guy, and life continues, and I don't have to mess with this. And they leave and go home. And Jesus is left there with 12 of his disciples, he says, and he turns to them and he says, are you guys going to leave too? I would have loved to have been in that moment, wouldn't you? I can picture it. They're all sheepishly standing around him and looking down at their feet, and Peter says, well, I won't lie. Maybe I've thought about it a little bit. But he says to Jesus, he says, listen, I believe you are the Son of God. You have the words of life. Where else would we go? When we experience the life-changing words of Jesus and we begin to really experience them in true ways, it's sort of impossible to go back to the old way. Peter understood that a rough day with Jesus is still better than a day without Jesus. And so stick with it. And then there's the careworn soil in verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word and make it unfruitful. Listen, if we're following Jesus, it should mean that we don't get anxious or attached to the things of the world. But the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches have a way of sneaking into our hearts. And when we give them room to grow, it will suffocate just the freedom of life that God wants us to experience. It may not kill us, but it will make us sickly and spindly, and Jesus says it makes us unfruitful. I want to be fruitful. That's why it's important to guard our heart. The truth is that in the soil, all over the soil, the best soil, there's seeds. Seeds that aren't good seed. And we can rip out the thorns, we can rip out the weeds, and what do you find every season? There's more weeds. There's more thorns. Those seeds are down there germinating, and they're always popping up. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When He is digging and rooting that stuff out of our lives, we say, okay, Lord, I see it. I see the problem. Okay. I want to walk in a different way. That's guarding our heart. That's cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because we don't want those things to choke out God's life in us. And then Jesus talks about good soil. Good soil. Good. Good. It's good. It's not great. It's not loam you could eat. It's just good soil. There's probably some lumpy clay chunks in it. There's probably some rocks in it too. But it's good soil, and you can grow stuff in it. And for the farmer, that's sufficient. He says, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Understanding comes by taking it to heart and living it out. James says not to just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And it's when we begin to do the word that I believe understanding comes. It's putting it into practice and not just looking at it and going, ooh, I don't understand that. Well, let's close the book and go on. No, it says, I don't understand that. Let me do that and see what happens from that. That's the heart that, yeah, has some clay clumps in it, has some rocks in it, but it's a heart that is willing to be tilled by the Holy Spirit and willing to be good and useful for the purposes of the farmer. And Jesus says, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. A good way to judge the soil of your heart is by looking at the crop that it yields. You can drive down this road, and there's farmland all around here, and you can look at the soil, and you can see spots, especially right over here, where the soil is real clay. You see water, it doesn't grow as strong there, and then there's parts where the corn is just growing a mile high. That's good soil. You can judge soil by the crop that it yields. Is your soil yielding a good crop? Think about that. Because good seed on good soil yields a good harvest. Here's the bottom line. We want, as disciples and followers of Jesus, citizens of this kingdom that he is building, we want to have humble and teachable hearts that is ready and receptive to the good news, to the seed that God wants to plant in our hearts. When troubles come, we want to go deeper. We don't want to walk away. We don't want to give up. We want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit when he's rooting out the stuff that doesn't bring life to us. We want to share grace and love and good news with everyone, everywhere, whenever. And the rest, we're calling on the Holy Spirit, a mighty river, come and water this soil. We're calling on the Holy Spirit, burning fire, purifying fire of God, warm the soil and cause what God has planted to grow and flourish there. We call on the Holy Spirit, bring a harvest of righteousness from our willingness to allow the good seed to grow. We're going to share in a time of communion. Here's the danger of this parable. And it's not a danger, but it's just something I've seen a lot. That we take this parable and we create sort of like a quadrant. Four squares. The rocky, the hard, the thorny, and the good. And we start to put people in those little categories there, don't we? Oh, well, that's rocky soil. Oh, they're a rocky soil person. Yeah, the reason they didn't accept the gospel is because they're rocky soil. Or, yeah, you know what? They're never going to live it out because they got thorny soil. And that's not a bad understanding of this scripture. That's a great place to start. But God has not made me the judge and jury of anyone else. He's told me to examine my own heart, along with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, search my heart. See if there's anything in me that is keeping me from experiencing the full harvest of God's righteousness in me. Sometimes we assume that because we've received the good news, we've come to the altar, we've been baptized, that we're the good soil. Ha ha. God, you take care of the rest. But even as followers of Jesus, we can be hard-headed. We can be faint-hearted. And we can get worn down by the cares of this world. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, has this beautiful prayer. He says this in Colossians 1:9. Do we have that scripture? Because let's just read it together. And here's Paul's prayer. He's got his team of leaders, and they're all praying for the Colossians. He says this. Read it with me. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Can we stop just a moment and say, thank you, Jesus, for qualifying us to share in this kingdom. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's what communion is all about. We joyfully give thanks that he has qualified us to share in this kingdom of the Son he loves. Jesus, this morning, we want to walk in the kingdom of your light. We confess that we can be hard-hearted, we can resist your word, we can be faint-hearted, and we can give up too easily. We confess that we let the cares of this world and the pursuit of riches wear us down and hinder the work and the word of God in us and through us. But today, as we take the cup and the bread, we pray with Paul this prayer for ourselves. Holy Spirit, remove the rocks and the thorns, till the hard soil of our hearts so that we can please you and we can bear good fruit. Strengthen us with your power so that we may live lives of joyful thanksgiving in this kingdom of light that you've called us to, the kingdom of the Son whom you love. Thank you for rescuing us from darkness. Thank you for qualifying us and bringing us into this kingdom of Jesus. We thank you for the redemption we found and the forgiveness that we found in him. May the simple elements that we're going to share today remind us of your extravagant and some would say wasteful generosity to us, even us. We give thanks in Jesus and through Jesus because of the cross. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.